Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We'll get back to the Vikings and Cousins and that news break in about 35 minutes ago. They've also signed, you see, I love all his work, Andrew Van Ginkle. 2-year term with the Vikings for $20 million, $14 million guaranteed from the Dolphins. If you could have the name Andrew Van Ginkle or Dave Harrigan, which way are you going?
I always liked the name Andy Van Slyke, former Pittsburgh Pirate.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-90s? So Andrew Van Ginkle.
Pirates, Cardinals, right?
Yeah, he had a nice little run. Andrew Van Ginkle, that's a solid name, too.
That's a great name.
Yeah. I've got a brother, Andrew, goes by Andy. So I don't know if we could both be that. But I'd like to take a shot.
Yeah, I would prefer Andrew Van Ginkle myself. Okay, back to Cousins. And the Vikings 235 chip is cranking out a column. I'm going to send him a text during the break demanding that he comes on at 235. We, of course, pay him zero. The Star Tribune is his main gig. So we got a lot of leverage. A lot of leverage. 4 years ago today, the world changed. Not hyperbole. Not exaggeration. Not phony. Hot talk from the radio host. Hey, everybody. 4 years ago, the world ended. What do you want to say? No, 4 years ago, a couple things happened. The World Health Organization declared a global pandemic, and Rudy Gobert affirmed it in America. When you think of 4 years ago, which one comes to mind first to you, Dave Harrigan? The World Health Organization or then Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert?
It is 100% Rudy Gobert.
Me too. I, at the time, and I want your thoughts, 651-461-9226. It's one of those days that we can talk globally about the pandemic. We certainly can talk about initially what were you thinking, and then in hindsight, what's the best part of how we came together, or what's the reality that we didn't come together? That was my point, and if we are attacked, would we come together as a country? Well, guess what? A pandemic attacked us, hit us, killed well over 6 million people across the globe, well over 1 million here, and we just blamed each other and didn't come together. So I'd love to hear from people through phone calls and text, 651-461-9226. I'm on a Twins trip. I'm on a Twins trip that I was going to take tomorrow also, but since we're on this California adventure, Adam and Jen are going, and they'll be amazing, no doubt about it. But I was with the Twins, the fan in the stands trip. And this is March 11th. My father is turning 100 on March 15th of 2020. And we had discussed this. My father and I had discussed it a number of times. And then with the radio station, the Tribune, and both organizations were, said we want to do something with you, but whatever works. And at first, Dave, there was talk of a big, huge event. And then I stepped in. And I said no, because in large ballroom sort of situations, his hearing was a mess. If it was one-on-one and he could hear you, he was still fantastic. But that wasn't going to fly in a large room. Even on his 90th, where there were hundreds honoring him, it was tough for him to hear that. So then we came up with the idea of Murray's. We'll do an all-day tribute to my father, and the key point will be we'll have an event at Murray's with not a huge group, but we're going to raise money for causes that mean a lot to us, where not a penny was going to go to us, but Children's Hospital and Gillette Children's Hospital. And so I'm in Florida, and I remember a day or two before, Dave, I was talking with Shannon, who was NRG GM, and kind of our committee. And we all said, are we okay with this with COVID? And I think it was like on March 9th, we had a meeting. I think it was, can you look up the calendar? Was the 11th a Wednesday, March 11th, 2020? Because I know we talked earlier in the week, and everybody at the point earlier in the week, Dave's like, we're fine. We're fine. And then I remember watching what was going on TV, on ESPN with Gold Bear, and thinking, okay, everything's off. Everything is done. Was the 11th a Wednesday?
The 11th was indeed a Wednesday.
Okay. That's what I thought, because we had a Monday meeting. And then I remember Carla calling me, because we were living together at the time, just absolutely concerned like everybody else. Well, I shouldn't say everybody else. You know, those who were concerned were very concerned. And by the time we got back, what did I have at my house? Just a lot of really bad toilet paper. Just way too much bad toilet paper. Products I don't want, which are bad, toilet paper is near the top of the list. Text me. Products you don't want if they're not up to the quality you're used to. Toilet paper, right near the top for me, Dave. Did you guys hoard some of the toilet paper?
Not over the top, but we made our effort to get some. But, I mean, we missed out. You know, I remember going to the stores thinking, I guess we should probably get some. And, you know, whether it was Target, whether it was any of the big box stores, whatever. Empty shelves, baby.
Yep, for sure. So I got back, I think, on that Friday. And, yeah, you know, it's not like I was going to do a lot of shopping down in Fort Myers. But I remember when Q and I landed, and then pretty sure about Q to Kathleen's, and then, yeah, went to Targets and Costco's and Walmart's, whatever they were, and, yeah, it was absolutely empty. So we canceled my father's event, but then – you know, we didn't realize where we were going because the plan was all along. The station asked me to host the entire sports huddle. And I said, no, that's unfair to Dave and also to Mike Max. And so I came in the last hour with Bud. And I was pretty mad about the first hour and a half, to be honest, because he was having a tough time hearing. And it was a little bit on lacing, some technical issues. And also, if you weren't looking him in the eye, it was tougher. And to be honest, I watched those guys do a few shows. They didn't look my father, look at him so he could read their lips. And that bothered me. Actually, it still bothers me today. And on the 15th, we all still were okay. By the 17th, Dave, it was over. By St. Patrick's Day, we're not going anywhere. We're all shut down. We weren't allowed in the building. And the odyssey began. The saddest thing, obviously, that 6 million people plus died, million people plus died in America. The fact we came together with the vaccine is phenomenal as fast as we did. I see now when Trump will brag about it, the Alex Joneses of the world are calling him out for bragging about it. You know, do I think Trump was in the lab putting together? No. But for folks who want to diminish Trump's role, if it would have been Biden as president or if it would have been Hillary as president, they probably would be giving them credit. So under the watch. Now, Trump's, you know, lines about it's just all going to clear up on Christmas and the Lysol stuff, utter nonsense. He is the president of the United States today without COVID. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe if he would have took it more serious, he would have beat Biden. But he was just so dismissive of it, and also the fact that he just pushed back so strongly on mail-in voting. When, by the way, it's a reality in five states, including Republican-leaning states. But I think outside of the deaths, and nothing's close to that, I think it just showed how divided we are. Just a finger point. This is wrong. This is amazing. No, you're an idiot for this. Do I think everything that the medical authorities offered up was flawless? No, I don't. All over the place on masking, Dave. All over on the vaccine was initially, we are never going to get it. Then it was going to give you a better chance. Then it was going to, you know, lessen the severity. And as somebody who had COVID, who's tried to stay up to date, sometimes I shake my head. Sometimes I do. Let's not forget, it was unfolding right in front of our eyes. No matter who the president was, no matter the leaders across the world, when you have this type of pandemic happening, if you think the success rate should be 100%, that's fantasy land. But I think it just showed how skeptical I am, Dave, that we would come together. So I want to get to Dave first. When you think of the initial days of COVID, this is 4 years ago today, World Health Organization declares a global pandemic. And then Rudy Gobert tests positive and he's touching all the mics and acting like it's no big deal. And all of a sudden sports in the world comes to a screeching halt. Sports played a huge part in America coming to a screeching halt. What do you say about the initial parts? And what do you say when you think about it? Because for me, I gave you some of my ideas. I'd like to hear from you. Phone call or text. 651-461-9226. Call or text right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Remind people the music theme of the day, Dave.
After seeing Gosling's performance of I'm Just Ken last night on the Oscars, we're paying tribute to perhaps the most forgotten men in the world today, all those people named Ken.
Yeah. A lot more Kennys than Kens, though.
I think so. I think if you were a Ken or a Kenneth at birth, you'd want to be a Kenny.
What do you say? I just was reacting to Ken Barlow earlier. I forgot to mention Ken.
Well, Soul Man.
Is Ken Barlow the most famous Ken in Minnesota history? Not Kent. It'd be Herbeck, but Ken.
Can't think of another one off the top of my head.
Before you react, because we're taking texts and calls on 4 years ago today, World Health Organization declares a global pandemic. Rudy Gobert tests positive. NBA game canceled. Sports canceled soon. Lockdowns ensue. Here's a text. I got to be honest, bugs me. I remember listening to a radio announcer spew BS, we're all going to die. Turns out it was still the most overrated thing since Y2K. Yeah, I know. It killed people. Well, people die every day. I worked every during it. I think I meant to add every day during it. I think that's so callous and cruel. Would you have felt, texter, would you have felt the same way if that was your husband or your wife or your son, your daughter, your best friend? They were going to die at some point. It didn't affect me. I worked every day. You're lucky. You're fortunate. I'm glad. I wish it wouldn't have affected any of us. But it did. Did some people go way over the top on it? Yes, we can have that debate. I believe absolutely there were some. But this idea was a conspiracy to get Trump out, or no big deal. People die every day. Yeah, these folks would have died eventually. And yes, it affected older people more, less healthy people more, no doubt. But if you don't think there were younger people died, if you don't think there are people dealing with long COVID right now, and your response is, people die every day. I just think that's I think that's lacking respect for other people and a lack of awareness, because Dave, how many people would have felt that way if it's a perfectly healthy loved one? You know what, people die every day,
even if they weren't a perfectly healthy loved one, even if they were struggling with, you know, whatever it is, and they contracted COVID, and because of that condition they couldn't kick it and they ended up passing away.
Before you chime in, everything about the pandemic was nothing but painful, and you were just reminding us of that. Please move on. No, it's 4 years. A lot of people are discussing it. You bring up significant seminal moments in our country's history. This is one of them. What jumps out for you before I read a lot of text here?
A lot of what you mentioned, but also just how it was a look into how just people of all walks of life react to crises so differently. You know, whether it was those that refused to take any sort of medical advice, you know, masking, from social distancing to going out at all, to obviously opinions and thoughts about the vaccine even before it was introduced, to those that were, nope, I am staying home. I am not leaving my house no matter what. If I have to, I am getting my groceries brought out to my car. I am not going out into the public. And, I mean, there were people that didn't see people, you know, didn't go out in public as much as they could possibly for months and even years. And just the shock of it all, of just, you know, trying to deal with the sensibilities of a country of hundreds of millions of people. And obviously you couldn't make everybody happy. But then the willingness to accept that, you know what, people are going to react differently and people are going to take this pandemic at a level of seriousness that might not be the same as yours. And that might be okay.
Among the texts, the thoughtless texter doesn't care is why it lasted forever. Everyone cared only about themselves, not about community neighbors, and the wrong leader and the wrong time. There was a lot of selfish behavior during this, Dave.
Tons of it.
There really was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were still many parts of the pandemic which showed greatness of our country. and some of the kindness, but there's a lot of that last texture, Dave. Didn't affect me. All overhyped. Why do we spend so much time worrying about it?
There was a lot of that, and I think that only got emboldened by a lot of the people. And you know what? I'll raise my hand. I was absolutely guilty at times for having a bit of a holier-than-thou attitude for people that weren't taking it as serious as I was. And, you know, just having a mindset, well, clearly you don't understand and, you know, you're an idiot. Well, you know, maybe we should have been more educating, you know, more educating people and a little bit more gracious to folks that weren't getting behind every single, you know, I can't think of the word right now, but every single precaution that others were taking.
I think there is, in hindsight, hopefully at the time, and for a lot, maybe not enough, that there were individuals who, in a reasonable, rational, calm, but direct and very important way, were raising questions. Okay? That's fine. And maybe we did not respect those folks enough. But for the folks who were shrill, dismissive, callous, right from the get-go, that's very different from raising other valid questions. A lot of people saying about the number of people they lost. Somebody saying lost an aunt in December of 2020. Our family's not been the same since. Regarding COVID and shutdown, you shouldn't pick up the scab. People favor the draconian shutdowns and didn't miss a paycheck or lose a business would do well to leave that matter alone. Well, if you're talking to me about not losing money, you're talking to the wrong person, because that isn't even close. I can assure you that. Not even close. And draconian, I guess we debate draconian, because I'm not exactly the one who just sits in my house on a regular basis and doesn't get out. I thrive on people. So did I listen to certain experts on parts of the shutdown? Yeah, because I was trusting experts continuously and forever. No. See, there's way too much generalizing with some of these. Fake news. Maybe more people would have shot up bleach and put fluorescent bulbs up their backside. It would have cured it. Yeah, Dave, how about you? Did you ever consider that?
I thought about it. I mean, not the bleach, but fluorescent bulbs, yeah. I mean, you know, some lights, some power lights, LEDs, I don't know.
Do you agree with me and the texter for the if not for the pandemic, Trump wins over Biden?
Yeah, I think he does. I think the country was seemingly rolling along very well. And as everyone knows, people vote with their wallets, and the economy was not hurting at the time.
No, it was not. And, you know, Biden had emerged after he looked pretty awful in Iowa and New Hampshire. And until Clyburn picked him, he really wasn't going to be the guy that he was. It's kind of similar now. The people who love Trump really, really love him. And the people who love Biden, they're not as strong. There's just a lot of people who are going along. So I do believe Trump would have won. Kirk Cousins is gone. He goes to Atlanta, gets a 4-year deal. The first 2 years guaranteed, and out of $10 million also guaranteed. So he's guaranteed $100 million. He's done after 6 years. What does Chip Scoggins think? We'll find out in seconds here on CCO.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Chipper here. Chip, the Vikings have added defense. They have added Jonathan Grenard. He's the headliner. A lot of people had him as the fifth or sixth best free agent of all off the Texans. He had, 13 sacks last year right in that area? Mm-hmm. They added a couple linebackers, Andrew Van Ginkle, which is just a great name. I wish your name was Andrew Van Ginkle. And then they added the former Gopher, Blake Cashman, who's had a good season. But guess what? They're not the headliners. They are not the headline story of the day. It is Kirk Cousins after 6 years. He goes to the Atlanta Falcons, his own agent, breaking the news at about 120 or so, 4 years. If he plays all four, it's 180. The key part is $100 million guaranteed. He gets the first 2 years guaranteed at $45 million per. He must have some buyout at $10 million for the 26th season. So 4 years, but really 2 years and a buyout at $100 million. Considering the money, Chip, considering it's been 6 years, considering the other issues they have, I personally think it was time to shake his hand, say you're a good man, wish you luck. It's time to move on from the Kirk Cousins experience. What do you think?
Yeah, the 4 years, no. The $100 million guaranteed, no. They were not going to budge. And I give Kwesi credit here that, yes, this was negotiation. There's a bidding war, and there's uncertainty of the fear of the unknown at quarterback when you don't have it. But they stuck to their plan, and they just were not going to budge on the term and that kind of money. And so I think they did the right thing, and now they're focusing on fixing other parts of their roster, which desperately need upgrades, most notably on defense with what they're doing. But I think it was just time. If they could have done something more reasonable for 2 years with a possibly an out at one, then obviously that changes. But Kirk was not going to do that. He was looking for more long-term security.
I would like to have Kirk's agent, and then I would like him to negotiate with Mark Coyle during my next negotiations. Kirk and his team, Chip, they know how to get max money. Whether he's a Hall of Famer, he's got a ways to go to get there on that. But as a Hall of Fame negotiator, they're phenomenal. They get every penny possible.
Well, and part of that is, I mean, great negotiation, but Chad, there's bad quarterback plays.
Yes.
I mean, there is a scarcity of good, competent quarterback play in the NFL. And so, when you have that going for you and you have some leverage, you're able to do that. And so I think anybody who looked at this knew it was going to come down to two things. Was Kirk willing at this stage of his career, going to be 36 in August? We know he loves it here and all that, and the familiarity and his relationship with O'Connell and the organization. Was he willing to forego that to get a more, long-term security and more money? That's what it was going to come down to, because you felt like Atlanta was going to give them more or offer him more than what the Vikings were willing to do. So he made his choice. Obviously,
I don't fault him on that. Do you fault him on that? I mean,
no. Well, I mean, I never fault players.
Owners are cruel too. They'll cut a guy, drop of the hat. They'll cut him. He was treated extraordinarily well by the Vikings. They professionally were very good to him. But at this point, when, by the way, he looks at this team, he's no dummy. He knows the issues. And he sees the division the Falcons are in, which is weak. He sees a stud running back, a very good wide receiver, a tight end who people thought was going to be amazing, but hasn't so far. It's the same type of system. I don't think he has to give a hometown discount. If he does, fine. But I don't think he should get any blame for not taking it.
No. I mean, the idea of hometown discounts just does not happen in the NFL. I'm sorry it doesn't, because of we've seen it. We see it every year. A guy agrees to a contract, and next year the team decides they want to get younger or cheaper or whatever, and so they can take a pay cut to stay in the league. I never understand why fans side with billionaire owners who can just pull the rug out from underneath players all the time. And so I'm always for players getting as much as they can when they can, because their careers are so short, and teams often come back and want him to take a pay cut. So I don't fault him at all. I mean, you know, good for him. And you know, I think people will look back at him favorably. Like his last 2 years, I think people appreciated him more. I think his personality came out more. Yes, there's only one playoff win in his 6 years, and he made $185 million. He had a nice run here, a good stint. It wasn't great. Wasn't what everybody had thought coming off that NFC title appearance in, what was it, 17? So it never reached the level that we thought. But I think people look back and think, you know, he did good things here, but it's also time to move on when you look at what he's now getting from Atlanta.
Okay, so let's stay with that part. Okay. The two of us, heck, we might have talked the day, son. I don't remember. But from the time he signs to now he departs, considering the team that he inherited and the way the team evolved during his time here, did the signing live up to expectations? Because for me, Chip, if I have to say yes or no, I'm a no just because of the one playoff win. I know the defense just fell off precipitously. I know the offensive line. How many times have the two of us talked about that offensive line? It's ironic they're now getting better. But if you would have said, hey, they sign him, he's the best quarterback out there, they're adding to Zimmer and Spielman in this defense, and oh, by the way, for the next 6 years, he's going to play almost the entire time, and they're only going to win one playoff game. To me, that's not living up to expectations, accounting to he's not accountable for everything on this team.
Well, that's it. I mean, this discussion, it tends to, I think people look at it from a black and white perspective, right? It's either all his fault or, you know, it's someone else's fault. It's not his, right? I would say no, it didn't live up to expectations. Do you remember, this was a team that was in the NFC Championship game, and they went out and got, a veteran, high-priced free agent quarterback. So you're thinking that's going to be the piece that puts them over the top. And so when you have that feeling and you look at the money he got, and then there's only one playoff win in those 6 years, it's hard to say that they got what they were anticipated. Now, there's all kinds of factors. I mean, there's a nuanced discussion. Yeah, the defense, injuries, different things that happened. It's not entirely his fault, but he's not blameless.
He's
certainly not without fault with this. So, I mean, he has to take his share of blame, too, for them not being, better and more equipped to win. But in totality, you know, he did some good things here, but if we're just basing him off his contract and what he's coming here to do to put this team over the top and be that guy at least into –
Nope.
It didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
The propagandists for the Vikings also turned in his spectacular performance against San Francisco, because it was that, and then how well he was playing against Green Bay before the Achilles happened, as if he was about to go on a five-year run and be the greatest quarterback ever. To me, you know what he would have been the next rest of the season? Him. He would have been him. He would have had some very good moments. He would have had some games where you're like, man, he makes some throws. And he would have had some other games where you would have been like, come on. Even though the pocket stunk or even though the defense isn't there, you should win games more often. Was he getting more of the O'Connell offense down? Yes. But, man, I think there's a lot of romanticizing of how he was playing. Let's not forget, they started the year 1-4 when he was the quarterback.
Yeah. I think part of that romanticism is because we saw his personality come out more in the last couple of years, and he became less robotic and more likable after Zim left. He felt free to kind of show who he is, and it became playful and goofy and the chains. And he did, you know what? When he was at his best, he was playing at a high level. I mean, it was
– at his best, yes.
Really good. And it was not just, you know, a game two here. He was playing at a high level. And so I think there was always that, the feeling that for, his supporters that he was – excelling when everything around him was bad, right? The defense or guys were dropping passes or offensive line we've picked on for years. But, you know, you go back to that playoff game last year, and, you don't pin it all one play, but the moment of truth, he checked down on a game-deciding play. And so was there ever a sense that he was going to lead this team to a championship? No. I don't think anyone felt that. There's both his, you know, who he is as a quarterback, but also what this roster looked like. And that's why after 6 years, it's okay to start over. You might take a step back.
Yes, that's it.
You know, it's okay to try something different. I mean, they're in this – stuck in this place where they're good but not great. They're always kind of, you know, right there in the division, yes. Always a threat that's to be it. In the playoffs. But do you feel like they're on the verge of doing something special? No.
And I don't think they would be if they brought him back, which is kind of
– I don't either.
I got to jump in because we're short here.
Yeah.
A minute left. The headliner today by far is the Texan guy. I believe it's pronounced Grenard, even though it's two E's. If I'm wrong, let me know. So that's very good. Does that mean bye-bye, Daniil? Is there any way they can have both them on the roster?
Well, I don't know. Now that you don't have Cousins, you have more money to spend. But I think Daniil is going to get a massive contract. You know, I've heard, I think Pelissero said $25 million plus. I don't know if there will be enough because you still have to pay J.J. and Darisaw and all that. So I took that as his replacement. Now, if you can get Daniil and Grenard, then you're, you know, you got something cooking. But I sort of feel that's like right. They're bringing him in as a replacement.
I know how busy you are, so I appreciate coming on. We'll talk next week, and maybe there'll be more breaking news next week. It's fun when it happens.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Chip Scoggins, he's cranking out a column right now. He took a break to chat with us. It'll be available on StarTribune.com in a matter of minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.